Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning and welcome to church. Good to see you all. I'm Kevin on this beautiful, cold, crisp morning. Glad that you braved it and you came. If you're joining us online for whatever reason, we're glad that you came. And in just a minute, I'll introduce a series that we're starting this week. But I want to just highlight some stuff that happened this past week besides some great basketball victories. I'm talking about JMU. Y'all thought I was talking about something else, right? I want to highlight for you, last week, if you were here at 10 o'clock, we had over 500 people in this room that celebrated baptism, and we had 16 people, not just in that service, but in the following service. Esperanza Viva also baptized 7 individuals, so we had 9 in the first service, 7 in the second service, so that's 16 people got baptized in this location last Sunday. I think we could give the Lord praise for that, right? Yeah. It was pretty awesome. So also last week, and there's going to be some pictures that appear on the screen behind me, last week at our Waynesboro campus. If you're new, we have a campus in Waynesboro, Virginia. We have a campus in Elkton, Virginia. And Waynesboro last week celebrated their one-year anniversary of launching that campus. So we celebrate that, yeah. So these are just a few pictures of what took place last week. They had service and church, and then they had a celebration afterwards where they gathered to eat. I think they had close to 50 people that came last Sunday, so we're really grateful for that. Today, you'll see some pictures of this next week, but today, our East Rock campus celebrates their 5th year anniversary of launching that campus. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Last Sunday night, I don't have pictures of this. Maybe we'll have them for you next week. But last Sunday night at the Parks and Rec Department, in their new building that they just built this year, we had 54 young adults that came and gathered for the launch of that ministry, which is being led by Pastor Jeanette and 7 other lay people. But 54 young adults came last Sunday night. And yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Some of them might be in this room. A bunch of them will be in the next service. We have a huge group of college kids. We're launching a new series that would have started last week, the first week of February, but we're launching it this week because we didn't have church 2 weeks ago, so we pushed baptism back. But you all should have gotten a card when you came in here, and if you didn't, I'm sorry about that, but we're going to take a little survey as we start here, and the series is entitled Relationships Righted. So if you have a card, you can pull that out. There are pens in front of you. There's pens all around the room, actually. They're all over the tables. They're up front if you don't have one. If you don't have this card, it's fine. You can get one on the way out, but you can still take this, and you're going to want to hang on to this and keep this with you for the next few weeks. When we think about this idea of relationships, immediately people go, well, it's February, and so you're going to do relationships, and you're going to talk about marriage. That's not the only thing we're going to talk about. All of us are in relationships. In fact, some of us would go out of our way to avoid relationships. And the reason we avoid them is because we've been in them before. We've tried that before, Kevin, and they are painful. So it's just easier if we isolate ourselves and stay out of relationship. Kevin, you don't understand that because you're now a preacher. You're still fairly young. You're a good-looking guy. I need to inject some humor into this. You don't understand what it's like to live with real, regular people. You're not a family person. You didn't have a career before you were a preacher. I do understand. And I'm not saying I understand like you understand, but we're all in relationships, and that's what we're going to focus on in these next few weeks. Why else would we do this? I want you to get this before I get to this card. We're going to preach and teach about relationships because the scriptures put a spotlight on them from the beginning to the end. The scriptures highlight relationships. Well, that's an easy general statement. More importantly, God is interested in the quality of your relationships with Him and with other people. Think about this now. If you've lost me already, don't lose me. Check back in. The Jewish person would have been raised to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They would repeat that multiple times in a day. What's that about? Relationship, this relationship, and this relationship. And before I get any further, and I don't want to offend anybody when I say this, but I had a young person, actually I've had multiple young people tell me this recently. Kevin, is there a different message that the church has to offer other than God loves us, be kind to all people? That's actually not what the Shema says. The Shema asks us, how much do we love God? And how much do we love other people? And while there is a core message of the Bible about how much God loves us, that's not the only message of Scripture. Well, God loves me, be kind to all people. Whew, great start. Now let's exhale and let's look at this relationships righted scorecard. Ready? Let's walk through this. Do you agree or disagree? This is for you personally, not the person sitting next to you, not any other relative. This is yours on your own. Number one, in the past week, I have sacrificed to bless someone else. Do you agree or disagree? Number two, I am known as a good listener. Agree, disagree. Number three, my family sees my commitment to Christ. They know He comes first in my life. Agree, disagree. Number four, we balance our schedules. This is a little different on the card than it is on the screen. We balance our schedules, work, family, hobbies, etc., so that we can maintain devotion to the Lord and service to the church. Agree, disagree. Number five, in the past week, I have prayed specifically for a family member or friend who doesn't know the Lord or who has drifted from faith. Agree, disagree. Number six, I demonstrate my love for my unsaved and unchurched friends and family. I serve them well. Agree, disagree. Number seven, I am a positive influence at work. Coworkers respect and appreciate me. Agree or disagree. And number eight, coworkers trust me with their thoughts and their concerns, even those concerns that don't involve work. Agree, disagree. Now, a show of hands for all of you who just said agree to every single one of those. Wow. I was half joking, but nobody actually did raise their hands. I figured there's got to be one in the room who would say, that's me. This is why we're going to do this series. Now, we could have put a lot more statements together, but Brian Charette, who helps us put our stuff together, our sermon series together, these are the eight statements that he helped to craft. I didn't, by the way, have agree for all of these. Certainly not. Look at this picture. I want you to think, regardless of your age in the room, and there are all ages in the room, everybody in the room can think back to maybe, I don't know if it was a specific moment, but the moments, plural, when you were a kid and you wanted what another kid had. And so this is the classic scene where we go, I want what they have. In fact, you may have already had it and you didn't even really want it, but somebody else wanted it, so now you want it back. You remember those? Do you remember those moments? And we sort of laugh about that, but I'm not going to have a picture for every one of these, but just stay with me for a second. So we look back on our lives and we think, yeah, kids, they're really selfish. How about teenagers? You think teenagers are selfish? Some of you have some in your home. So you know that teenagers can be, not all of them, not all the time, selfish. And you would look back and you would say, yeah, those are definitely the years where we're the most selfish. Okay, how about college students? College students that have now, or young adults, that they've moved out of the house, and for a little while anyway, and then they come back into your house and they do the things that they were doing in their college dorm. You remember these days? How about the kids that get out of college and now they're young, they're not married, they don't have kids, they're living in their townhouse, they got their own job, they're making their own money, and they now have no responsibilities. So they're not kids, they're not teenagers, they're not college students, they're on that early age of young adulthood, they have no other responsibilities, the money is all their own, and they're not selfish. And then now it's time to get married. And so you have one married individual, selfish person, who wants to marry another selfish person, and they get married, and all of a sudden they realize, wow, I'm pretty selfish. How do we fix that? Let's have kids. And then you have kids, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and they won't go to sleep, and all of a sudden you realize, well, that looks selfish, and college looks selfish, and young adulthood looks selfish. We got married, and that seems selfish. Now we've got kids, and you're going, wow. I really am selfish. And I want you to think, regardless of your age in this room, as you look back on your life, where was the period of your life where you would go, I wasn't selfish. It wasn't all about me. In fact, when Brian helped us to write the titles for the Relationship Write It series, today's title is, It's Not About You. And it seems like in each age of our life, we look back and we realize, wow, I was pretty selfish there, and I was even more selfish there. And the older we get, we seem to get more selfish. We seem to get more set in our ways. Now, nobody's saying amen yet. There is hope coming at the end of this message, but I just have to lay the groundwork for it before we get started. Now I want to get to Scripture. I want you to think about a couple silly examples. Do you know how many times I've walked in the room, are you listening? And the television is showing one thing, and I have picked up the remote because that's not the thing that I want to watch, and I've changed the channel. None of you identify with that, right? Without asking. Do you know how many times Ruth has made dinner, and I'm on my way home, and I find out what that dinner is, and I'm not crazy about that item, which is rare because she is a really good cook. And I've decided that I'm going to have something else. It's not a sin. It's just selfish. I know none of you are like this. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. What has happened right before this is this. Are you listening? There has been a Mount of Transfiguration. Three of Jesus' closest of the 12 have gone up the mountain. They didn't know what was about to happen. And Elijah and Moses have appeared. And these three guys watched Jesus, as Scripture would say, turn a bleach white, whiter than anything on earth could make him. And this transfiguration, where the glory of God just shows up in front of them. And they're so overwhelmed by this moment that they go, wow, let's just stay here, Jesus. Let's build a structure right here. And let's forget everybody else and let us stay here. And then we get to the next chapter, Mark 10, and here we go. Here's what it says in Mark chapter 10. He's just told them, by the way, that the greatest in heaven need to become like children. And they're like, what? Children? And then he's told them, after he's talked to this rich young ruler person, that money doesn't signify your religiosity. And then we get to this. Mark chapter 10, these are the words of Peter, by the way, one of the chosen three, that he gives through the pen of Mark. They were on their way to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. So here's the three, the group of 12, they're following Jesus. There's more than just this group that are with them. Some are astonished, and some are afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside, and he told them what was going to happen. This is the third time. Third time he's about to tell them, hey, boys, listen to me. This is a locker room speech. I'm about to tell you what's about to go down here. We are going to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, one, spit on him, two, flog him, three, and then kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise. And then we get to the most amazing part of the story. Then James and John, the two brothers, the sons of Zebedee, they came to him and they said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Let that breathe. "Hey, Jesus, will you do for us what we want you to do?" "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory." Hey, guys, we're headed to Jerusalem. This is the third time I'm telling you this now. What's about to happen? Why are they afraid? I'm going to take my 12, my basketball team, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to tell them this is what's about to happen. They're going to beat me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to mock me. They're going to flog me. What is flogging? They're going to take rods and they're going to beat me on the back. They're going to take whips, which at the end of the whips have metal, they have glass, and they're going to whip me, and they're going to pull them in such a way that the flesh will be ripped off of my body in chunks. And then they're going to kill me. And the very next verse, "Hey, Jesus, we're two of your closest. We were just up on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know you the best." This isn't the first week with Jesus. It's not the first month with Jesus. This is 3 years in. They're on their way to Jerusalem. This is, we've built a relationship. We've eaten with him. We've slept with him. We've been with him. We've walked with him. We've heard him. We've watched him perform miracles. We've seen how he suffers. We've listened to him pray. And he's just told them, "This is where we're going. And this is why we're going. And guess what? Hey, Jesus, we have a question for you. Would you just do for us what we want you to do? We're not really interested in what you want to do. We're interested in, would you do for us what we want to do? Could you just do that?" In ancient culture, to sit at the right hand was an honor. To sit at the left was for an intimate friend. This was at best a highly inappropriate request. And I want you to think about what just happened here. Can we get on your right and can we get on your left? And as you all are facing me, I want you to see what's on the right and what's on the left. They had no clue what they were asking. Because very shortly after this, there would be someone on his right, and there'd be someone on his left, and they'd be two criminals. Wow. Jesus responded and said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they answered heartily and strongly, "We are." Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give. Instead, it is for those whom it has been prepared." What's really, really interesting is, stay with me, don't lose me. I know this is hard. One of these guys is going to die first, and one of these guys is going to die last who made this request. James and John. And one of them's going to die a brutal death, and John's going to die last of a natural death, is what Scripture tells us. When the 10 heard about this, the rest of the team now has heard. How comes those two guys got to be the captains? The rest of the team is hurt. And when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. They weren't mad about, well, Jesus, would you even consider them? They're mad because why? You didn't want to pick us as the captains? You didn't want to get us in on this? They became indignant with James and John. Jesus calls them together and he said to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And here's the key words. If you get nothing out of all my clapping, spitting, yelling today, here are the key words. Not so with you. Not so with you guys. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you understand who's following him here? Do you understand that this is the 12? This is the church leaders. This is the ones who show up at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. This is the group who actually would say, we know him. We've trusted in him. We've given up everything to follow him. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to people who are atheists. He's not talking to people who outright hate him yet. He's talking to 12 people who have said, we believe in him. We trust him. We're going to follow him. We're going to go all the way to Jerusalem with him. He's talking to church people. He's talking to the inner group, and he's saying, not so with you. You can't be like that. Have you guys not seen it? Haven't you figured it out? I came to give my life, and I came to serve. What about you? How are you doing in your relationships? Have you decided in every relationship not to back down, not to be a sissy, not to never have a conviction, not to just let everybody get their own way? But I'm asking you, in every relationship, have you asked yourself recently, maybe even since Christmas, I wonder what I could do to serve this relationship better? Does it mean we allow other people to mistreat us? Absolutely not. Does it mean that we don't have preferences? Absolutely not. How about this quote? Almost every sinful action ever committed can be traced back to a selfish motive. It is a trait that we hate in other people, but we justify it in ourselves. Whew. It's quiet. Here's the four words, not so with you. It's troubling to me when I hear this all the time. And I'm one who preaches it to our staff and to other people who are in leadership. Self-care is important. Are you listening? Nintendo decided to spell we with two I's. Some of you will get that in a minute. We're not just interested in satisfying ourselves. We're interested in gratifying ourselves. I don't want all of you to do this, but a lot of you have phones in your hands right now. I'd be real curious to know if you went to your photo section of your phones, is most of the photos on your phone, are you in almost every photo? Or do you have more photos of other things than other people in your phone? Sometimes there are things that I don't like about myself. I wish I had more hair. I wish my body looked different. There are things that they've changed over time, you know, and so I can obsess about those things. Here's what Craig Rochelle said. He said, we don't just love ourselves. We are completely obsessed with ourselves. That's a hard word. I read a great story this week of Booker T. Washington, who had just been named the president of Tuskegee Institute, and he was walking down a section of Alabama, and a fairly wealthy, well-dressed white woman came across him, and she said to him, without having any idea who Booker T. was, she said, hey, sir, would you like to come and make some money? I have some chores that need to get done. And Booker T. just smiled very calmly and quietly, and he said, sure, what is it that you need done? She said, come to my house. So he went to her house, And she said, I have all this wood that needs to get chopped. And he did all of it. And not only did he chop the wood, he filed it and put it in its place and put it away. And a couple days later, all of a sudden, this lady reappeared at his office. And she said, dear sir, I need to apologize to you. And he said, for what? And she said, I had no idea who you were. And he sort of smiled. He said, it's okay. I'm not above rolling up my sleeves and doing some work for people. And she said, I just want you to know, between the time that I found out and was completely embarrassed, I've gone to a number of my friends, and they have lots of money, and we want to know how can we support you and this university, and we're prepared to give. Why? Because he just said, okay, I'm not too good to serve. Sure. I know I've just been elected the president of a prestigious university. I'll come to your house and I'll chop some wood. Wow. 2 Timothy, how about this? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What's the antidote? Paul says it in Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. You must have the same attitude and mindset of Christ. I've no idea what Michael Zollhofer, or where Michael Zollhofer is in his relationship with Jesus. But I want you to watch a doctor in Baltimore who I think epitomizes what we're trying to say Jesus is inviting us to. Watch this.
In one of Baltimore's poorest neighborhoods, we found one of its richest doctors. Rich, not in money. In fact, he's pretty much broke.
Righty.
But 66-year-old family doctor Michael Zollhofer is flush with job satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Just love people. I love to see a rash. If you say you got a rash, I'm gonna find you, because I love a bump on your head. You see what I'm saying to you? I have
no,
got
not
to,
really.
I love, like, I love a bump.
Has anybody taken your temperature?
No. Listen to my sweetie.
That infectious spirit is part of what sets him apart. Another is his prices. Can't pay? That's okay.
You make everything sound so easy.
It is easy. Forget that dollar bill. Now, I'm going to see you no matter what. You walk in that door, you will be seen. You bring your grandma with you. I don't see her too. Okay.
But here's what amazed us even more.
Right.
In the nearly 40 years Dr. Z has been practicing,
that one's good.
He's never taken a real vacation.
I think you'll live.
Tells every patient they can call him 24/7, 365.
There you go.
I have his cell phone number.
Does everybody have his cell phone?
Yeah.
He's always available.
This guy seems almost unbelievable.
He is unbelievable, because you'll never meet another person like him ever.
A superhero, but hardly invincible. A few months ago, Dr. Z was diagnosed with cancer.
So I got two separate cancers. One renal, one rectal. But I don't give up.
And to add insult to injury, Dr. Z didn't have insurance. There was a whole series of snafus, but bottom line is he had no way to pay for his radiation treatments. Until his patients turned the tables on that ever-giving doctor.
I'm like, let's fight. What can we do?
Dr. Z will not give up on you. I'm sure ain't giving up on him.
Whatever needs to be done to save Dr. Z, we're going to do it collectively.
So, collectively, they started a crowdfunding campaign. Nearly 1,000 people donated, raising more than $100,000. Today, his prognosis is good.
Right.
He got his insurance back, and now plans to funnel any money left over back into the community.
All right, open that mouth up. You know what? I'm going to say something that may seem crazy as heck. I'm thankful that I got cancer, because I am the happiest man on the planet, no matter what the outcome. What we have shown, and why we're sitting in this table right now, to show America, this is what you're about. We about giving. I can't make it without them. And nor can they make it without me.
You need each other.
Let this nation hear this story. Let it hear this story.
And let it follow his prescription for a better outcome.
If you need something, you just buzz me, okay?
Steve Hartman, right, we'll on the road on in all Baltimore.
If our motive for self-care is only ourself, then it's not self-care, it's just selfish care. How you doing? Before we get into any of the relationship issues and problems, it really starts with us. How are we doing in our relationships? Here's a question I want to ask you, and then I'll have you stand. In what area of my life am I loving myself more than loving God and loving other people? In what area of my life am I loving myself more than I'm loving God or loving other people? Stand with me. Here's how we're going to close today. I'm going to invite you to actually move. I don't know what God's calling you to do about this, but symbolically, you could do a number of different things today. We have communion tables, and that's going to be a part of what we do here at the close of this song. So you can come and you can receive the communion elements. Don't take them. You can take them back to your seat and we'll do it together. But we have hearts on these tables. We have them on the altars. We have pens. And maybe today, just symbolically, we have hammers, we have nails, and maybe today you would just symbolically like to say, I need to nail something to the ultimate place of sacrifice. I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's wanting success. Maybe it's serving when it's only visible. Maybe it's curating a perfect image. Maybe it's using your leadership to elevate yourself. Maybe it's prioritizing your personal gain over generosity. I don't know what it would be, but you might want to write something on this heart, because that's really what he wants, is your heart. And you may just want to nail it to the ultimate place of sacrifice, because the Lord has put his thumb in your back, or he's touched some area, as I've been sharing, the Holy Spirit, and you just want to do it. And you would say, well, I'm not crazy about the nail and the hammer thing. I'm afraid I might hit my thumb. Please don't sue us. That's not what we're trying to do. But we also will have a person at each table. If you don't want to nail it, they'll nail it for you. You could just come to an altar of prayer and you would say, what's that about? It's just changing your posture. It's a place of surrender where you would say, I've made this too much about me. It's enough in my relationships of it being about me. And I just want to change my posture. And I want to say, I want this relationship right, which will impact these relationships. So you can receive the communion elements, go back to your table and hold them. You may come and write something on a heart and you want to nail it to the cross today. Wouldn't that be beautiful? You can nail it to the front, to the side, to the back. It doesn't matter. You can just get the communion elements and take them back to your seat. And at the end of this song, we'll receive communion together. I just thought, before we got to the communion piece, before we talk about his broken body, the bread and the blood, why don't we ask ourselves, in what area of my life am I loving myself more than loving God and loving other people? So you can do any of those things for the next few minutes while we're singing and worshiping. Let me pray before we move. Lord Jesus, I know how you've worn me out this week. I know how selfish I am and can be. I know how I obsess over myself. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. And I can't just look at the disciples and say, I can't believe right after he told them all these things that they would come to him and say, would you do for us what we want you to do? Because I do that all the time. All the time I'm wanting you to do for me instead of me do for you. Holy Spirit, speak and you move in only the ways that you can. In your name I pray. Amen. You're free to move.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.